How sweet it is to know our Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we come to message 5 in our lesson book. You can open your outline to that lesson. And I want to start by just reviewing a couple of things from this morning. This morning we had a very critical and important lesson on regeneration. Regeneration. Now, I'd like to know, is there anybody who can give us the definition of regeneration, which is included in the focus? Okay, why don't you stand up and give us the definition of regeneration. Go ahead.
Regeneration is basically just being saved.
It's being saved, okay. There is a very, thank you, that is true. But there is a definition in the focus that I'm looking for. Yes, sister, go ahead.
Being born again.
There's a definition in the focus that I'm looking for. Yeah, you got it?
That in addition to man's natural life, okay. He receives a new life, left God, just by himself.
Very good. Now, declare that to us. You did a good job, but it was a little fast. I want you to declare it a little slower and a little louder. And I want you all to look at the focus at the end of the lesson on regeneration and underline this definition. We should all know this specific definition. Once again, what's your name, brother? Evan, please, one more time.
That in addition to a man's natural life, he receives a new life, the life of God, which is God himself.
Amen. In addition to man's natural life, he receives another life, or a new life, and that is the life of God. This is the meaning of regeneration. So, young saints, you all have received another life.
Amen.
All of you who have been saved have received another life.
Amen.
In addition to your human life. You still have your human life. But now you have the life of God.
Amen.
You have the Zoe life. You have the eternal life in your spirit. So you have, that's the meaning of regeneration. We were born again. Born again of what? Of the divine life. Of the eternal life. Now we're trying to learn how to, and this next lesson is what we're going to cover now, learn how to live by this life. How to exercise ourselves to pay attention to the sense of this life. That's in the title here, right? The sense of life, is that right? Yeah. And learn how to fellowship with this person who is in our spirit. So we're going to cover the sense of this life and also the fellowship of this life. This outline contains two very crucial experiences of the Christian life. After being regenerated, now we have another life in us. We have a person living in us. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has a feeling about everything. Write this down. He has a feeling about what we do, what we say, where we go. He even has a feeling, he has an opinion about what I wear, what you wear. So even in the mornings when we get up and get dressed for school or for wherever we're going, it's good to check with the Lord. How do you feel, Lord, about, you know, my outfit? It's good. It's very good. And most of the time he'll say, oh, wonderful. But there's once or twice that I've had the thing. He says, you know, that tie doesn't really look too good for this jacket. Change it. Or that shirt, maybe not. He has a feeling about everything. So we need to learn to listen to his voice, to his feeling about everything. That has to do with our sense of life. We have to sense what he is, what his heart is, what his desire is. And that takes practice. Write that down. It takes practice. You have to check with him about things. You know, you get an invitation to go somewhere. Your friends are going out to a water park or somewhere, or going to the mall. Check with the Lord. How do you feel, Lord? Should I go? Should I not go? Try to sense this life in your spirit. And then follow that sense, right? The hymn talks about live by him day by day. This is what it means to live by this sense of life in your spirit. And then there's the matter of the fellowship of life, which we'll cover in the second part of this outline. Now we need to learn how to enter into a joint communication with God in our spirit, to learn to fellowship with Him. And we'll get more into this and the definition of fellowship toward the second part of this outline. Okay? Now, there's a scriptural basis for this sense of life. So, brothers, I want you to open to Romans 8:6. It's probably one of your memory verses. Is that right? Yeah. And then, sisters, it's not in your memory verses, but can you open your Bibles to Ephesians 4:19? Under Roman 1, which says the scriptural basis for the sense of life, you have these two verses. So, brothers, if you could all, those of you who have your verse sheet or you open your Bible, nice and strong, stand up and read to us Romans 8:6. You can stand up. Okay? Go. Very good, but I want all of you to stand up and get your Bible out or your memory verse sheet out and read the verse stronger. All of you, stand up. Here we go. And give us the reference.
Romans 8:6. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace.
Very good. The mindset on the what? Flesh is
death.
Underline that in your memory verse. But the mindset on the spirit is
life and peace.
So we want to learn how to experience the life and peace. The way is to set our mind on the spirit. But if we neglect to do that, we set our mind on the flesh, we will experience not physical death, but spiritual death. We'll get into that in the sense of life. Now, let's go to Ephesians 4:19. Sisters, you'll have to open your Bibles for that because it's not on your memory verse sheet. If you have that, you have your Bible open, go ahead and stand up and read it to us with the reference, nice and strong. This is a very strange verse. Read it again. Read it again. Who?
Being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness in greediness.
This is talking about some unbelievers who, being past feeling, I want you to write that word down, past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to all kinds of sinfulness, right? To work all uncleanness and greediness. And there's a companion verse for that I'd like to read to you. You can write it down. 1 Timothy 4:2, which says this, by means of the hypocrisy of men who speak lies, of men who are branded, write this word down, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. Who can tell us how we use hot irons to brand something? Anybody know? Yeah. Makes a mark, right?
And then I think
it makes the air a bit numb. A very numb, yeah. Do you know what kind of animals we usually do that in this country? Huh? Yeah. Mainly cattle, but they could do it to horses as well. They take an iron, and it has a symbol on it, like, so if a shepherd has a ranch and he's got cattle, he might have a circle T, you know, for toe, circle T ranch. And so he's got this iron that has a circle and a T in the middle, and then they fire it up and get it red hot, and they put it on the side of the cattle, usually on the, you know, the rump part, put the on there, and it sears the... burns all the hair off and burns the skin, and there is a brand on that cattle. You can't remove it, and everyone knows when they see that calf or that cow, they know that belongs to Shepherd, the Circle T Ranch. But what it does to that part of the cattle is that there's no feeling anymore. It kills all the nerves at that part. So if when Paul wrote to Timothy, he talked about men who do this. They get branded as like a hot iron on their conscience, meaning they don't pay attention to this feeling that we're talking about. They get tempted to sin, and right away your conscience bothers you. Don't do it. Don't do that. That's the Lord speaking to you. But if you neglect it, you get branded. A little brand, a little And if you do it again, you get more. And eventually you become like one of these people that you past feeling. Now you have no feeling in your conscience about committing sin. That's very dangerous. Very dangerous. We all sin. But when we sin, we should have a feeling in our conscience. And I think you all do, and I do too. And when something like that happens, right away I realize, oh Lord Jesus, I repent, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it that way. I didn't do it, I didn't mean to do that. Please forgive me. And then the blood cleanses, and everything is, we're back to having good fellowship with the Lord. But we have to be careful. If we neglect that feeling, we could become past feeling. So we need to take care of our conscience. You can write that down. You need to take care of your conscience so that the sense of life is stronger with you. Amen. So, the main verse here, of course, is Romans 8:6, that the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Now, if you looked at the, under Roman 2 on your outline, you'll see a kind of a graphic with two sides to it, the sense of life and peace, and it has five items, and the sense of death in the five items. You see that there in your outline? Amen or amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I want you to look at your outline, open your outline, and look at these two, look at this graphic in the middle there. So the sense of life and peace helps us to feel strong, satisfied, lively, bright, at ease, which means we're comfortable. We're comfortable. If we set our mind on the Spirit, we should feel at ease, at peace. We should feel bright, lively, satisfied, and comfortable. That's very, very important. That shows us, this is the function of the sense of life is to show us where we are living. If you set your mind on the Spirit and you feel happy about this, satisfied, comfortable, at ease, at peace, you know, with your family, with the Lord, then that's telling you, you are in the Spirit.
Amen.
You're in the right realm. But if you sense that you're weak, no strength to do anything, you're weak, you're empty, especially when you feel depressed. We all go through these kinds of things. We may feel depressed, even dark inside, and restless. You feel very restless. You have kind of feel in pain. That shows that you are in your flesh. Write that down. That tells us where we are. This sense of life and peace tells us we're in the Spirit. But if we're in this, experience these other things, darkness, depression, pain, restlessness, we're uncomfortable about things, we should realize, I'm in the flesh. I need to turn back to the Spirit. This sense of life and peace, as opposed to this sense of death, write this down, can save you from a host of things. It can save you. If you can learn this lesson now, you are most blessed as young Christians. You're most blessed because it can save you from so many things. Maybe the serving ones in your group can give you some testimonies. Maybe I'll give you one or two, but when I was in college, I was invited to a party, and I went there, and this sense of life began to operate. I had the feeling, get out of this party now. Now, it's crazy because no one was there yet but me. I was the first one there. But there was a sense of you know, the Lord was speaking to me.
Yes.
Get out of here.
Yes.
And I was arguing with him. What do you mean, get out of here? I mean, nobody's even here yet. And then, nope, get out of here. And then, I've told this story, some of you, forgive me for repeating it. But anyway, you know, I started listening to the lyrics of the song that was playing, and I realized it was the Rolling Stones singing Sympathy for the Devil. Well, right away I thought, I better get out of here. the lyrics. I've never heard, never paid any attention to the lyrics until that night. And so, the Lord kept saying, get out of here. But I thought, what am I going to tell my friend, you know? Eventually, I just said something. Oh, I'm sorry, I've got to go. I just lied. I think I just got out of there. As soon as I got out of the house, oh, life and peace. I just felt satisfied and joyful and happy, and I just went back to my room. And then I found out later that party got raided by the police. There were some people got arrested. It was a terrible, terrible scene. So the Lord saved me from a host of things that night, a host of things. And so we need to learn to follow this sense of life and peace in our spirit. I'll give you one more testimony. So when I came early on in my church life, I was still doing some work. I was not married yet. And on my way to an interview, and I had an apartment on the west side of Manhattan, and I always wanted a duck print, which is a watercolor, usually made famous by this famous artist, Audubon. So I wanted this duck print, and I'm on the bus on Lexington Avenue, and I see it in this art store, this beautiful duck print. I think it was a wood duck, which had a lot of color, beautiful. And right away, at the bus stop, I jumped off the bus. I went back to the store, and I asked how much it was. It wasn't that much. It wasn't too expensive. So I bought it. And then he said, you want it framed? Yes. Okay, come back in 2 hours. It'll be ready. Okay, good. So I'll go to my interview. Got back on the bus. As soon as I got on the bus, there was the Lord. No, you cannot have that duck print. Now, it's not a sinful thing. It's just a piece of art to hang on the... But the Lord wouldn't let me go. I said, Lord, you know I wanted a duck print all my life, and now, you know, well, all my life. Anyway, for a long time, and now, you know, I found one, and it was... Go back. Tell him you can't have it. So you cannot convince the Lord to change his mind. Write that down. He would not be moved. He said, go back now. And I was so uncomfortable, getting depressed, talk about the sense of death, just in my flesh wanting that thing. So eventually I said, all right, I said, what am I going to say? I get off the bus, I walk back up a few blocks to the place, and I didn't know what to say. So So I walked into the store and I said, I'm sorry, I need to return the, you know, I need to get my money back. I can't go through with the purchase. And he said, what happened? What's wrong? I had no idea what to say, but it just came to my mind at that time, and I said, well, I don't live alone. Now, he said, oh, I understand. But I wasn't lying that time, because the Lord lives in my spirit, right? So, anyway, these are kind of bigger examples, but I wanted to give you some testimony so that you know this is real to us. Amen. And by these, I've been only been in the church life a year or two, and these are the lessons we all need to learn, how to follow this sense of life. And even today, I have the same kind of experiences. I mean, they're not big things like that, maybe, but little things here and there. What should I do? What should I do? Even, I mentioned to the high schoolers, even going to the grocery store, I have a list usually. My wife gives me a list, and I go there. But I just have some feeling to pick up this other item that's not on the list. And when I get home, oftentimes, Kathy will say, oh, I forgot to put that on the list. I'm glad you got it. What was that? That was the sense of life. Amen. The Lord is speaking to you. Little things. Little things. Or sometimes I want to get that extra thing and the Lord says, it's not on the list. So, you know, it goes both ways. But this is something we need to learn how to do. We need to learn how to follow the sense of life. And so I hope these items in the boxes help us to do that. Okay. Let's read Romans 1, and then I think we've covered A and B. We'll read C together. Let's read 1 and C together. The scriptural basis for the sense of life. C, because our inner sense is stronger than that of the unbelievers due to the life within us We must take care of its inner sense.
And keep it healthy and
strong. I'll read you the verse, Colossians 3:15. Underline that verse, Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. The Lord has called us into this peace of Christ, and we need to let the peace arbitrate in our hearts. And, you know, we have a song. Is Song 24 in the book, Philippians 4, 6, and 7? I think it is. We have a song. Yeah. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So maybe we can sing this later, either in the week or tonight. This is Philippians 4, the peace. And then Colossians says, we need to be guarded by this peace, right? Let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts. It needs to be the ruler, the arbitrator. The peace of Christ should be the one who is saying yes or no or, you know, to these things. That is the sense of life. Okay, then brothers, read Roman 2, sisters A. The function... D.
In the flesh or in the spirit.
Very good. Brothers D. Whenever we feel sisters E. Very good. So I think we've covered this well, this matter of the sense of life and peace. And we need to live by this sense of life. So pay attention to your spirit and check with the Lord in everything. Now, can we open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 1:9? We're going to go on to the fellowship of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Write that down because I don't think on your outline. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians. Okay? If you have it, let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ,
our Lord.
We've been called, and write this down, we've been called into this fellowship, into the fellowship of his Son. And maybe we'll just take a minute to define this matter of fellowship. The footnotes there are very good, but it's talking about the situation in the church in Corinth and Paul's writing to them in this way. Fellowship, write this down. Fellowship is a joint participation in God himself and with God himself. When you think of fellowship, when I think of fellowship, oftentimes we think of going to some, you know, serving ones or some older brothers and sisters that we know and asking their advice about something. Fellowship, I don't know whether you should write, I think you should write this down. Fellowship is not advice. Fellowship is participating in God himself. And the example, or an example of that, is that maybe we're going to have a love feast tomorrow. Everyone's going to bring a big dish, and we're going to have a big table of all the food out there. And we all go and participate in the different dishes. So we're having fellowship with those dishes that the saints prepared for us. We're having a joint fellowship. We're fellowshipping in that, it's kind of an eating fellowship. But the point is that that's what this word means. Koinonia is we're participating in something. Partaking of something with the Lord and in the Lord. We're having this kind of fellowship. Now, there is the need sometimes for us to go to the serving ones or go to your parents to have some real fellowship about something. But I hope that in that fellowship, we are brought to the Lord. Amen. That's the goal. The goal is not to get an answer about something. You know, especially when you get to your senior year in high school and you're trying to decide about a college. Oftentimes the saints will come to us and ask us, well, you know, I got accepted to these two or three schools. Where should I go? Well, I hope that no one tells you where to go. I hope that we help you to pray to seek the Lord where you should go. Amen. That's real fellowship. Many times I've had difficult situations, and I would go to the mature brothers in my locality and ask them about it. And by the Lord's mercy, they never told me what to do, but they always brought me to the Lord. Amen. And we just had fellowship in the Lord. And in that fellowship, I became clear. No one said, do this, don't do that. Go here, don't go there. No one said that. But in my spirit, the Lord said, don't do that. Or go ahead and do that. That's the real fellowship. Fellowship is to get to the Lord and have fellowship with Him. So Paul writes, you were called into this fellowship. And brothers and sisters, you were called. Amen. God called you into this fellowship. So we need to learn how to enter into that fellowship and even live in that fellowship and seek the Lord's leading in that fellowship. And sometimes, yes, it's okay. I'm not telling you never to go to the serving ones and ask them. It's okay. But I hope that in going to them, you all pray together and you seek the Lord together and you contact the Lord together. That's the real fellowship. Now, the main verses are 1 John chapter 1. So let's open to 1 John chapter 1. And how about we alternate verses? Let's read chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. And we can start with the brothers reading verse 1, sisters 2, alternate, and all read 7 together. So 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Your outline has verses 2 and 3, but we're going to go through to verse 7. Okay? Okay, when you have it, 1 John chapter 1, just raise your hand, and as soon as we get a majority, we'll start. Okay? More? Good? Chapter 1, 1 John. Okay, brothers, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word. Sisters, 2.
And the light was manifested, and we have seen and
Brothers, 3. That which we have seen and heard, we report to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship with the Father
and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Pay attention to this verse, that you may also have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So the apostles had fellowship with God, Father and the Son. And He's opening up to the believers. John is opening up to the believers saying, now we want to report to you our fellowship so that we can have fellowship together. And our fellowship, the joint fellowship, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, sisters. We can be full of joy by having fellowship.
Amen.
Write that down. Having fellowship with God. and with the believers, we can be full of joy. 5, go ahead. That God is light, and in him
is no darkness at all.
God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Go ahead, sister. 6.
If we say that we have fellowship with him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and are not accepting the truth.
So if we have fellowship with him, we have to be in the light. If in our daily life we still walk in darkness, then we're lying. We didn't really have fellowship. Everybody, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light,
we have
these verses talk about, write this down, a cycle of life. A cycle of life. So when you were regenerated, when we were regenerated, we received another what?
Life.
We received life. The life of God, the eternal life. And in these verses, it tells us this life issues in something called fellowship. I hope you're writing down this chart too here. This is the fellowship of life. When we receive this life, now we can have fellowship with this life, have fellowship with the Lord. And in this fellowship of life, we receive a lot from the Lord. He may speak to us. He may shine on us. A lot of things may happen because God is what in these verses?
Light.
So this fellowship of life issues in light. Because God is light. So now my sins get exposed. Now my shortcomings get exposed. Now the way I talk to my wife gets exposed. All kinds of things happen in the light. In the light. So when we receive the light that we've been off, we sinned, we did something, you know, not so good, what should we do? What? Repent. You need to confess to the Lord, right? And when you confess, you experience the blood of Jesus, his son, right? That's in the verses. When you're in the light and you confess, the blood cleanses. And what happens when the blood cleanses? You get more life. You get more life. And then when you get more life, it issues in more fellowship with this life. Your fellowship with the life, the fellowship with the Lord, write this down, deepens. More life, more deepening, more, you know, your fellowship gets deeper. And as the fellowship gets more deeper, you get more light. How many of you in the last, I don't know, week or two, how many of you were exposed by the Lord and the light came and you realized you sinned and you needed to confess? Okay, good. Now, did you confess every sin you ever committed? No. Because if the Lord exposed every sin we ever committed, we all would die. It's just too much to handle. So he just shines on what he needs to shine on now. But the next time around, he's going to shine on something else. Because the light deepens. And then the need for the blood is there again. So we confess, the blood cleanses, and what happens? We get more. More life. More life, more fellowship. More fellowship, more light. More light, we need the blood more. And this cycle of life will continue your entire Christian life. It's a marvelous cycle. It's a marvelous cycle. And you can find this in the footnotes in 1 John. I encourage you, maybe in a small group tomorrow if you have time in your group to go through that. You can find this. But this is a very, very important experience of every one of us because we have been regenerated and have received another life in addition to our human life. Now we need to learn to fellowship with this life. have a joint participation with this life. And we can fellowship and enjoy this life not only by ourselves. We do need to learn to fellowship with the Lord by ourselves. But we can do the same. We can fellowship with other believers in the church meetings and have fellowship with the Lord. In our small groups, we can have fellowship. With your companions, right? It's very good. All of us. I was a Christian at a very young age, and in high school, I had a very close companion. We used to preach the gospel together. You need companions, right? You need young people to go on with, your age or around your age. You know, we need, right? We need to flee together and to pursue together and to get into this fellowship together. And that's what the Apostle John was writing to the believers at that time. We report to you this fellowship that you may participate in this. And this is to enter into this cycle of life. This cycle has helped me so much in my Christian life. Really helped me. I mean, we can't avoid. We fall. And when we fall, we just need to confess. And when we confess, the blood is always there to cleanse us. And when the blood cleanses, you just get more life. You're joyful again. You're not depressed again. You know, you're joyful. Even today, I have more of this kind of experience. I just took a walk. Praise the Lord for the new paths. And, you know, there's a sign out there down this end of the lot that says, "The Path of Life." I love that sign. So I said, I'm going to walk on the path of life right now. Got on that path, and there was some exposing on the path of life. So I confessed there, and then after getting cleansed by the blood, entered into more enjoyment of the Lord and came back. We need to live on this path of life and to enjoy this cycle of life. Well, I think that's good. I'd like to hear from you and see what you were touched with. This is a very important lesson. Amen. So maybe the brothers can tell us, or they can set up the mics or whatever. Oh, yeah, that would be good. Let's sing that, is it 24? Let's sing that song, song 24, on Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Thank you for reminding me.